International congregation. I love that. Love that. We've got Bob just back from China. A couple weeks in South Africa. Welcome back, Bob. Good to see you. And does anybody know where Roy and Helen are? Are they in the States right now, or anybody knows? Oh, they're here. Other things. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we've got some people doing some things in the city. I know that Shannon and Jackie and Peter are working in the library today for some kind of culture exchange. Keep them in your hearts and minds in prayer. Okay. And I'm also just want to report, just a praise that it's good to hear of a couple of Bible studies happening. There's a once a month Bible study between some of the ladies. I think Midori Swallow and Helen and, thank you, Yukichi. Mihoko, a few others have joined a once a month, I guess they call them Maidens of the Lord. I think that's what they call themselves. Bible study with the married women there. And then also, we've got another Bible study happening on Tuesday nights between the young ladies. Everybody's young, but the younger ladies in the congregation. And that's over at Vicky's place, so that's just great news. Also, there's the men's, the men's prayer meeting happening on Wednesdays at Drew's apartment. So please keep that in mind. That's just great news. I just hope more of that happens. If you haven't joined one yet, please join one. Get yourself involved in prayer and study outside of Sundays and see what a blessing it will be. Another praise I'd like to just report. I forgot to report this. You had been praying about it, and in the busyness of things, I just forgot to mention it. On Halloween, a few weeks ago, my gospel choir, the gospel choir that, or not choir, I guess gospel group that I started at my school, gave its first performance at my school. We had a Halloween kind of party event at my school, and there was, you know, dancing and music and things like that on the stage, and my gospel group sang two songs, and we did a great job, and I just praise God that God's music was sung at my school. That's just a great thing. So praise God for that. Good things are happening. Good things are happening, and I'm confident more good things will happen as we trust in Him. I hope you've already turned to Ephesians in your Bibles. If not, go ahead and turn there. You've got Bibles in your pews, I hope, or maybe you've brought your own. Ephesians. This is part two in a series that I started last week. Messages from Ephesians. And today I'll be looking at chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I have it here. You can read up along with me up on the screen, or you can read along in your Bible. If you have your own Bible, please bring it. Get your pens and your pencils, your highlighters. Do your markings and your colorings. It's good for study. Shall we read together? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ready? Let's go. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Continue.
I pray that all the glorious riches, in which strength is given with power, through the Spirit of the eternal God, may be yours in the church, so that Christ may dwell in the hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted in the salvation of the Lord, may have power, together with the Holy Spirit,
and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Praise God for His word. Paul prays that we would grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, or the love of Christ. One of the worst things that can happen to us as Christians, I'm convinced, one of the worst things is not that someone would attack our faith, attack our church, or that we would have troubles because we're Christians. That's not one of the worst things. One of the worst things that can happen to us as Christians is to live this life and not experience everything that God has prepared for us to experience. We can come to church after we become a Christian, get baptized. We go to church on the Sundays, you know, have our routines, maybe pray every now and then, maybe read a little bit here and there, and that's it. Maybe go to a potluck. That's nice. But we never grasp or really live out or take hold of so much that God prepared for us to do, to experience, to receive. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, you could turn, flip back a couple of pages. In chapter 1, it says in verse 3, it says, "We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing. You know, everything that you've read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the book of Acts, everything that you read about Jesus Christ, His powerful ministry, His miraculous ministry, His wisdom, all that glory, all that wonder, all those great things that we see. You know what Jesus said? He said, "You will do even greater things than these." He says in another place that, you know, if you abide in me and I abide in you, the Father will come and be inside of you. And you will dwell. He will dwell in you. God, the maker of the heavens and earth, dwelling inside of us. And yet, we seem to be happy or satisfied just living our life, just kind of, yeah, come to church, meet some friends, learn something nice about the Bible. Oh, that's, it makes me feel good. And that's it. And that is a tragedy. Tragedy, I believe, one of the worst things that can happen to us. There was a rich man, very, very wealthy man, and he bought some land, a very big property out in the countryside. And in this land, I mean, there's just huge. There was fields, there was hills, he built some courts for sports, and there was a beautiful stream running through it with some fish. You could go fishing. The water was clean. You could go swimming. You know, there's a part where there's a small forest. You can go camping, you know, build your forts or your tents. Just enjoy the outdoors. Just a lot of land out there in the countryside. And in the corner of the countryside, in the corner of this property that he had, he built this beautiful house, just nice and lovely. And so he would bring his family to this country house in the summertime. And the kids would come, "Oh, wow, Dad, what a great house. It's great." And they'd run around, you know, kids are just running around, climbing everything, you know, just enjoying this beautiful house. And then after a couple of days, you know, Dad's there relaxing and still the kids are running around the house. And he's looking out into this beautiful land and the kids are still playing inside the house. They won't leave the house. And he's getting annoyed because they're noisy. So he says, "Guys, why don't you go outside? Look, there's so much out there. You can play. Go outside and play." And the kids say, "No, Dad, we're fine. The house is enough. It's a good house. We don't need to go outside." What a waste. What a waste. There's so much that God has for us to experience in our Christian life. So much. And yet, we're sometimes satisfied with so little. And it's enough for us. We're content with our familiar routines and our little daily lives. But God's desire is for us to go out, explore, discover, experience the width, the length, the heights, and the depths of Christ's love. We need to go out. I want you to turn to somebody next to you and tell them, "Go outside." Go ahead. Now you need to tell them, "Go outside." Yeah, get out. You need to get out more. In Genesis 13, there is a story of a man named Abraham. Abraham was chosen by God to go and make a new nation. And he told Abraham, "I'm going to send you to a land, a faraway land. You're going to go there, and your offspring, your children, your descendants are going to fill this land someday into a great nation." And so just before Abraham, so now Abraham goes out into this country and he's kind of in the middle of it now. And God in chapter 13 tells Abraham, he says, "Okay, look up, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north, south, east, and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." He says to Abraham, "Take a good look around and see what I'm giving you." And so a few hundred years later, Abraham's offspring, his children, his descendants, have now become a big people, a huge nation. Abraham's gone, but God brings a man named Moses to lead this nation into the land that he has promised. Moses dies, and now there's a new leader, Joshua. And Joshua is poised, he's ready to go into this land that God has promised to give him. And so he tells Joshua, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot." God promised to give the nation of Israel every bit of land that they set their foot on. Every field, every valley, every hill, every mountain was theirs for the taking. But they first had to step out. They had to go out. in obedience and take possession of it. In the same way, I believe God's message for us is that there is so much out there, so much for us to take a hold of, to seize, that we haven't done so far. I believe that while we're here in the city, and some of you will not be here for all that long, but while we are here because God wants us to experience the width, the length, the height, and the depth of His love for us. In this city, every place we set our foot on, every place we visit, every person we meet is an opportunity for God to show us a new experience in His love for us in every way. Something that we've never experienced before. And so Paul uses this word in verse 17-18. He says, grasp, that you may grasp the width, the length, the height, the depth. The word grasp, it literally means to take hold, to grasp, to seize something with all of your strength until it becomes your own. It has the idea of chasing something down and just grabbing it until you've got it, until it gives up. It's something that requires your strength or your abilities. And I'll speak more about that later. But I want to say now that God wants us to get out of our little church routines and really fully, completely take hold of the love which is ours in Christ Jesus. You need to get out more. You need to get out more. I mentioned the word grasp, and that word grasp means getting something with all of your strength. So you need strength in order to grasp the height, the length, the width, and the depth of God's love. But you not only need strength, you need three things that Paul mentions there in this verse, in our passage. We need a firm foundation. We need spiritual enabling, and we need a community of faith. It says there, in verse 17, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, being rooted and established in love. The idea of being rooted is like a tree that has its roots that go deep. The higher the tree is, the deeper the roots go down. And then that the idea of being established, the word established is the word used to describe a building which has a foundation. A strong foundation. And so that Paul says, you are rooted like a tree. You are established like a building in the love of Christ Jesus. As I mentioned before, last week, Ephesians was a very smart, well-educated church. Paul had taught these Ephesians for 3 years. That's the longest he had taught anybody, any church. And not only Paul, but a man named Apollos, a very brilliant man, smart man, had taught these Ephesians as well. They knew so much about the Scriptures, so much about Jesus, the history of the prophets, and how they had predicted the coming of the Messiah. They had a well-grounded, thorough knowledge of who Jesus is. They were well rooted in the Word of God. I want to just say to the young believers here, if you've been baptized, if you've come to know God recently in your life, it's been maybe 1 or 2 or maybe 3 or 4 years that you've come to give your life to God. Yes, God has so much for you to experience, and you've probably experienced a lot already. But before you go out, you need to be grounded and you need to be rooted in the Word of God. Why? Because when you go out, it's dangerous. It's scary. A tree that grows high, you know, up in the skies, it's windy. You can get blown away. You can get knocked down if you are not established in the Word of God. And so, young believers, my encouragement is be grounded and be rooted and established in the Word of God. Know what it means to take up your cross. Know what it is that Christ did for you on the cross. Know what you believe. Know how to answer. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you, as Peter says. Get your routines down. I'm not saying our routines, our church routines, and the things that we do are bad things. Those are good. Those are what root us and ground us. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded," same word as established that Paul uses, "upon the rock." That rock is Jesus Christ. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2, just one page back, I'll be referring to the scripture quite a bit actually today. Chapter 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, as the rock. Young believers, get rooted, get established in Christ's love, in his word, and in those routines, those Bible studies, those prayer meetings. They will root you, they will ground you, and then you will be able to get out and explore the depths, the heights, the width, and the length of God's love. There was a pastor who was who's had a church that was just growing and growing, and they had to make new buildings and new buildings. And so they were making this new building. They were working on their second building, and this site, the land of their second building, they were taking a long time just to check the ground, the soil. They're doing all these tests, and it was taking such a long time. And finally, the pastor gets tired. He says, he talks to the architect, the chief designer. He says, "Why is it taking so long? Can't we just get this project moving? Or, you know, the people at church are waiting. They've waited a long time." And the architect says, "Look, pastor, you can't. If you can't go deep, you can't go high. If you can't go deep, you cannot go high." Paul says we need to be rooted and established in love so that we can grasp and take hold of the heights of Christ's love. Get rooted, get established. We need a firm foundation in the cross of Christ. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit to enable us to go out and take hold of the vastness of Christ's love. We need spiritual enabling. Paul says that you may have power. And the word power there in verse, I think it was 17 again. Excuse me, in verse 18. That word power That word is actually the strongest word that you could use for power in the Greek. The Greek has like four or five words for strength, might, power. And this was the strongest word. And the point of that is, if you want to go out and experience all that God has for you, you need more than just the power you have within you. You need the power of God. You need spiritual power. Because what God has experienced, what God has for you to experience are spiritual heights, spiritual depths, the spiritual width and length of Christ's love. And that's why in verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. If God has so much prepared for you, He's going to give you the strength to go out and do that which He's prepared. When I came to Hiroshima, I didn't come. I had nothing. I had me and my guitar. That was it. And then about 5 months after I came to Hiroshima, a friend of mine sold me his bicycle. And for 5 months, all I did was just walk around Hiroshima. And I lived right in the middle, right by the Peace Park, downtown. So I just, I was happy just living around downtown Hiroshima and walking around. But when I got my bicycle, wow, that was amazing. The city, like, shrunk. I could get from Shukan Garden to my apartment in, 10 minutes just riding my bicycle, whereas when I had to go by foot, it took 30 minutes. My friend Tony, before he got his bicycle, it would take him an hour to come over to my place. But when he got his bicycle, it took him 30 minutes. He was at my place every week, almost twice a week, just coming over because of that bicycle. And then just a few years ago, last year, I got my motorcycle. Oh, so I'm going on gas power now and not, leg power. And the city has gotten much smaller. I can go anywhere I want now. And I have so much more freedom. And it's great. I'm the kind of guy that loves maps. I like maps. I go out and I buy maps, and I can stare at a map for hours. Just, wow, I can go here. This is the road. The name of this road is that. And I like that. It's like a puzzle, you just work through those things. But the wheels, the motors, the engines, those were what enabled me to go out and experience the city in a way that I had never been able to experience before. I had a kind of freedom. I had a kind of enabling. And Paul says, I want you to have power. And not just regular power. Power. The kind of power only God can give you to experience the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of Christ's love. That's what you need. And that's what God has for you. In every way. And so our prayer is not, oh God, give me strength. We have the strength. We have the power. We have everything we need in Christ Jesus. So our prayer is not, oh God, give me the strength. Oh God, thank you for this strength. Thank you for this power that I have. And after you pray that, go out and do it. Go out and do what God has for you to accomplish. Okay. We need that firm foundation, that spiritual enabling. We need the community of faith, that you may have power together with the saints. And the saints means Christians. Saints is a word not just for the special Christians like St. Paul or St. Peter, but saint is the church. Saint means holy. Saint means something that is given to God. And so if you have given your life to God, you are a saint. You are a saint. You don't have to die to become a saint. You don't have to do anything special. You've already done it. You've given your life to God. You are a saint. You are, that's enough on that. But Paul says, we cannot experience the width and the length and the height and depth of God's love. We cannot experience it. We cannot. It's not going to happen without the saints, without a community. That's why I really love the Bible studies, the prayer meetings, all these things that we can do however we can to meet each other outside of church time. Because it's together with the saints that we experience all of these things. When Paul says in chapter 14, he says, for this reason, what is that reason? The reason is what he talked about in chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. You even go back to verse 14. That reason he's talking about is this. Christians, it's not just now natives and foreigners. It's no longer outsiders and insiders. You're all together now. You were all one. What Christ did on the cross is he took away those cultural barriers, those religious barriers, and he made you all one now. And so in verse 19 he says, look, there's no more foreigners, no more aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. And now, all these people, you are becoming this beautiful thing. You're becoming a temple. You are becoming a temple built on the foundation of the prophets, the apostles, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read verse 21, chapter 2. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Together with the saints, we can grasp the dimensions of Christ's love. Could you notice that? It's the width and the length, the height and the depth. Those are dimensions of a building. And that building is the temple of God that we are. We cannot experience all that God has for us by ourselves. There is no solo Christian. There is not someone who can say, I can stay home and I can just listen to the internet. I can do my Bible study at home by myself. Or I got my tapes. I'm okay. I don't need to go to these things. That is not what God has for Christians. And you'll know that when you haven't been to church in a while, you haven't been praying with your brothers and sisters for a while, you get weak. The things that start to bug you even more. You're lacking that support from your brothers and sisters that you can only get when you're with them. It's together with the saints that we get these things. I want you to make a gesture for me. When you gesture for the word wide, it was this wide. What's the gesture that you make? Please make the gesture. This wide. Right, this, right? All right. Now, make a big gesture. It was this wide. Go ahead, make that. Yeah, right, boom. Right? What's the widest gesture? It was incredibly wide. It was huge, wide. Make that gesture. Go ahead. Yeah, huge, right? This is the gesture God wants for His church. This is the gesture that He wants His people to make. This is the gesture that means, I accept you, I want you, I need you, I pray for you, I love you, I care for you, I support you. This is the gesture God wants for His people. And this is the gesture that says, I want to experience the width of God's love. And if you can't do this because somebody's personality doesn't match with yours, you don't like their hairstyle, or you don't like maybe the way they talk, Maybe they rub you the wrong way. They smell bad. There's a lot of bad smelling people here, but that's okay. But whatever it is, you can't make this gesture. You cannot experience the width of God's love. It's together with the saints that we experience God's love. So be careful with your language. Be careful with your words. Be careful with your attitudes towards others. Because in your Christian life, you're going to meet so many people in this church, in the churches that you'll be visiting, that maybe you're not going to like. Yeah, just because of your personality. But God put them there for you to experience the width of His love. It's a test. Oh, it's a beautiful test. Together with the saints. Together with the saints. God's love is wide, long, high, and deep. And yet many Christians will have lived their lives never exploring, never discovering, and therefore never understanding the fullness of God's love. There are some here who have maybe, if you look at their passports, there's just many stamps. There are those of you here who have traveled this world and seen so much. And that's great. That is wonderful. You've seen more wonders. You've been to greater heights. You've experienced so many wonderful things in this world that God has. But the sad part is that there are many Christians whose spiritual passports are empty. We have a passport. We have Christ. But we're not going anywhere with it. We're not experiencing anything because we are so focused on ourselves. We're so happy just to live in our small little places. Maybe you know somebody in your hometown who doesn't care about traveling, who doesn't want to go out and experience new cultures or taste strange food, who could care less about traveling and seeing the world. But I meet plenty of Christians who are like that as well, who are just satisfied with their little church routines. And I fear that that is partly what's happening in our church here in this land. Now, we've got a lot of Christians who have been just set in their little Christian world and who are afraid for whatever reason or just don't care about stepping out and experiencing all that God has for them. And I hope that's not what happens to us. My hope is that being rooted and established in love, having the power of the Holy Spirit, and together with the saints, we will be able to step out and really experience the width and the length, the height and the depth of the love of Christ. That is my hope. And I believe that's God's message for us. Let's get ourselves out of our little boxes and let's step out in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, for the young believers here, I pray that You would help them to get rooted and established in love. Help them to set their routines that would ground them in Your Word, that You would dwell in their inner being. But Lord, I pray that we would not be satisfied with our routines. I pray that we would hunger and thirst for more of Your love. Father, for those here who have been Christians for a long time and yet have not really stepped out, I pray that You would call them out, give them the strength by Your Spirit, and challenge them, Lord. Not only them, but me and us together as a body. Help us to open wide our arms, to step forward in faith, to grasp the width, length, height, and depth of this love you have for us in Christ. And Lord, for this we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.